Pleasant to be back at Breathe for 2015 with a whole new series, Face to Face with Jesus. And as you can see, for the rest of the 7 months or so, we've got to come looking at Jesus in just about every angle you can think of. And actually, what a finer thing is there to do than to look at the one who is our unrivaled teacher, our unique saviour, our glorious Lord, etc., etc., etc. And tonight, be thinking about him as our compassionate healer. Oh, I've got so used to having that TV screen at the back, but actually I can see this one in the window. Interesting. So there you go. If you go like that every now and then, you know what I'm doing. Okay. Face to face with Jesus, the compassionate healer. And I've been thinking about this now for a couple of weeks, at least since Andy sort of sent the details through to me about what tonight's theme would be. And this word compassion is attached to Jesus several times in the Gospels. Sometimes when he sees the crowd and he has compassion on them because they haven't eaten, so he feeds them. Sometimes when he sees the crowd because they're clearly hungry for spiritual food and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And sometimes, what we're going to look at tonight, when face-to-face with someone, or in one case with two blind people, he has compassion on them and then heals them. And tonight we're going to be looking at just one instance, I've decided, just one instance, because I think it picks out what Jesus was about in his ministry. And it's only three verses of Scripture. I'm going to read them one by one as we go through the passage here. So I'm going to have to turn around for this because I can't read that backwards in red. Okay. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Came across this telling of what it must have been like to have found out you have leprosy back in the day. He knew something was wrong, very wrong. But he hoped that if he waited long enough, it would just go away. But it didn't. In fact, it only got worse, and soon others started to notice that he looked pale and sickly. And he realized that he would have to take a journey to a faraway city to figure out what exactly was going on. After several days, he reached the city and made his way to a room where he'd never been before in order to speak to someone that he'd never met before. After what seemed like several hours, the door opened and a man wearing a uniform entered. The man examined the stranger. "It's here," as he rolled up his sleeve and revealed an open, runny sore. "Again," he said, "it's here," as he slipped his collar to one side, exposing another oozing sore. "It's here too," and he removed his sandal, where there was yet another pus-filled nodule on the top of his foot. And with that, the priest jumped back with a wild look in his eyes and said to the man, "I declare unto you that you are unclean. Now hear the words of the law. A leper must wear torn clothes and his hair must be unkempt. And everywhere he goes, he must cover his mouth with his hand and shout, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. May God have mercy on your soul." And at once the door slammed shut and the priest was gone. The man's worst nightmare had just come true. As he slowly picked himself up, he stood there in that dark room for several minutes in a state of shock. Then, with determination, he started ripping his favorite robe that his wife had made for him. Then he bent down and gathered some dust and rubbed it all over his face and hair until he looked like nothing more than a wild man. When he stepped outside and squinted at the brightness of the light, he slowly covered his mouth with his hand and choked out the dreaded words, "Unclean, I'm unclean." And for the first time in his life, people retched and recoiled when they saw him. A mother quickly grabbed her children and yelled, "Don't touch that man, stay away from him." A vendor of vegetables on the street corner threw something at him and shouted, "Get out of here!" Quickly, the leper made his way outside the city into the open countryside and headed for home. But the worst was yet to come, because he knew he could no longer have contact with his wife or children. When his wife saw him coming from a distance, she and their children ran to their father with joy and excitement, only to hear him growl at them and say, "Keep away from me. I am no longer your father. I am a leper." A funeral service was held for him in his village by the local rabbi because he was considered dead the moment he was diagnosed. The man's health went downhill. Quickly, he was covered from head to toe with a sickly stench that took one's breath away. His body started decomposing, and the odour of death poured out of every pore. The word leprosy is from lepros, meaning scaly. In the Old Testament, leprosy means to rot, and that's exactly what was happening. His skin was like a pool of slime. But that's just what happens on the surface. Down under the skin, leprosy eats its way through the nerves, and soon the victim loses all sense of touch and pain, initially in his fingers and toes, then spreading up the arms and legs. So a leper can't feel anything. Without the sense of touch, a person with leprosy eventually damages his toes, fingers, and feet. He will bump into objects, cut himself, get infections, and not even notice. And here's a comment from the guy who wrote the book. Dr. Paul Brand is a missionary who has conducted a great deal of research on the disease. He explains that in a leper colony in India, many of the lepers were missing fingers and toes. A lot of them seemed to lose them at night for no apparent reason. They just disappeared. When someone finally stayed up all night to watch and see what happened, they found that rats were chewing off their fingers and toes at night. But the victims didn't wake up because they didn't feel anything. So as leprosy advances, a leper doesn't even look human. No fingers, no toes. Many of them go blind, ulcerated growth all over their face. Nobody wants to go near them. Nobody wants to touch them. A leper becomes utterly repulsive, both to himself and to others. You know, in some ways, it's the Ebola of its day. Feared, in case you caught it. Very few willing to go and work with them to help them. So leprosy was a physically repulsive illness, but also it made you spiritually unclean. And in the Jewish faith, there were strict rules about what was clean, what was unclean, what could be touched, what could be handled, what could be eaten, and what couldn't be touched or handled or eaten. So you probably know, but pigs are unclean animals, along with a whole host of others. Non-Jews are unclean. A woman in her period is unclean. Dead bodies are unclean, and lepers are unclean, along with lots of other things. These all fall into the same category. And if you touch any of these things, then you become unclean yourself. And there's an elaborate ritual of washing that sometimes will take days, depending on the level of uncleanness, until you're clean yourself. And so everybody wants to avoid contact with things that are unclean. So the leper knew. He knew that he couldn't touch other people and he must stay away from them. And they knew that they couldn't touch him. They were untouchables, unlovable, isolated. I'm trying to think of an illustration for this. Pretty difficult, isn't it? But my grandson, Jack, is 9 months old now. He hasn't got leprosy. It's okay. Don't worry. But I tell you what, he's a messy eater. He's just learning how to sort of squidge food. Do you know the way you do? So you put a sandwich in front of him with Dairy Lee on it or something, and he'll squidge it, and some of it squidges up, and he eats it. Some of it squidges down and it goes all over his shirt and all over the table and usually on the floor where the dog then licks up that. He dribbles a lot, so he's always got a bib on, or usually always got a bib on, but his teeth coming through and there's dribble all down here and all down here and all down here. He's had a snotty nose recently, so it's all over the place because he rubs it like this all over his face and down all over the place. When he has a nappy, obviously, when it's messy, it can be occasionally runny. I don't want to go too far into the details here. And of course, in the middle of all this, he holds up his hands to you to say, pick me up, Grandad. The last thing you want to do, in some ways, is to pick him up. Because you value your own clothes, and you don't want to be contaminated with his gunk. Magnify that 1,000, 1,000,000 times. The leper, contaminated with all this gunk, would be alone, would be condemned, would be despised, rejected, would be untouchable. And by coming to Jesus and kneeling before him, actually, he was breaking all of the laws. And all around Jesus, because he was with a crowd here, people would have been cowering, hankies to their mouths, filled with revulsion at this abomination before them. Any teacher worth his salt would have turned away, would have moved to a clean distance away from him, because you could come within, I've forgotten what it was now, 20 metres or something like that. He'd have shooed the leper away and would have cursed him and told him he was unclean. You see, actually, there shouldn't have been a face-to-face meeting with Jesus and this leper. It was against all the rules. But just before we see how Jesus reacted, just hear the words of the leper. In fact, before the words, see his action. He came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. He knew his place. He had an inkling of who Jesus was and what Jesus could do for him. And this was confirmed in the words that he said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." You know, given all that we've said about leprosy, I guess there would have been some hesitation in his heart. He was used to rejection, revulsion from people. "If you are willing," sort of says, doesn't it? "But I understand you might not be because I'm a leper and, you know, you can't help me. But if you're willing, you can make me clean." There's a certainty here. You can. You are able. You have the power to make me clean. And notice, it's not "you can heal me" or "you can cure me," but "you can cleanse me." You can make me clean. Because you see, although the physical aspects of this disease are awful, what the leper really wanted more than anything else was to be clean. In a spiritual sense. To be able to kiss his wife, to hug his kids, to shake his neighbour's hand, to enjoy a coffee down at Costa or fellowship at Saltisford. To no longer be isolated and on his own. This is a big moment for him. And what was Jesus' reaction? Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Compassion. One word, loads of meaning. The original Greek word, and not that I'm a Greek scholar, I've read it in the book, okay, comes with a sense of anger or indignation. Not at the leper, but at the way the beauty of the creation that Christ has made has been spoiled, decimated by the sinfulness, the fallenness, the disease, and the unbelief of this world. It's just so sad that it's come to this. The word also has at its root here, and the word bowel in Greek, you know, is translated similarly, or has the same root. The Jews believed that the bowel was where you felt things, deep down within. This is where you felt things. You'll experience this yourself. You know, you get some bad news, and your stomach churns over. You know, Everton go 1-0 down with just 10 minutes to go, and you think, oh, no, I'm getting used to this. It's happening quite a lot lately. You get that hollow feeling in the pit of your stomach. That's the word here, that feeling of badness in your stomach. Jesus is moved deep within. He's literally gutted about this man's situation. And there's a bit more. Because this English word compassion is made from two Latin words, com, which is with, and passio, which is feeling or suffering, depending on the context. Jesus is feeling something of this leper's pain. There's an empathy here. But more than that, he's suffering with him. Do you see? It is so bound up with him that he's suffering with him. And even as it's translated here, you know, he didn't just have compassion, he was filled with compassion. This is Jesus, filled with compassion for this man that everybody else would have just cleared away from. Just thought I'd pause and think what relevance there is to us today. This is paltry, really, but I've never really liked my body. It's quite helpful sometimes to be 6'4" tall, to reach things off the top shelf and that kind of thing. And I think that's why Jan married me, because there seem to be a lot of high shelves in our house. But it's not so good because, you know, when you go to somebody else's house who is shorter than you, they've put the mirror on the wall at a height that suits them. And I find myself having to bend down to look in the mirror. But I hate looking in the mirror. When I was younger, I was too lanky, too skinny, no muscles, you know, that kind of, you know that thing going on there? And now that I'm older, you know, the middle age spread is just spread, really. And then there's that birthmark. Do you know, this is trivial, I know. Some people can't look in a mirror because of the way they look or the way they think. They look because of what they've done and the shame that is upon them, or perhaps what they think they've done and other people might think about them, or perhaps it's because of what's been done to them and it makes them feel awful inside, and to look in a mirror just reminds them of that. How they've been made to feel about themselves, perhaps by the things that their parents have said or their BFFs have said, who didn't turn out to be their BFF after all. If you don't know what a BFF is, come see me afterwards, you older ones out there. Okay. Some people have the shame and disgrace upon them, a sense of unworthiness upon them for all sorts of reasons. And if they can't love themselves, who will? Well, the answer is Jesus. If Jesus can be filled with compassion for this leper, who is the worst of worst case scenarios, then he's filled with compassion for you. Jesus loves even you, and he does so with a passion. And he showed it, didn't he, to this leper. He reached out and touched the man. In a film, this would have been the real slow motion moment. You know, you could just see Jesus about to reach out like this, and you see everybody around him going, no! Some would be reaching out to him, trying to stop him. Some would be going, like that. Do you know what I mean? Is that, isn't it? That's what it is in films nowadays. There's faces of shock and horror. But Jesus knew what he was doing. You know, elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus can heal with a word. Your faith, or even that one, your faith has healed you. He can heal from a distance. Don't bother us now. Don't come with us now, Jesus. My daughter is dead. She's healed from a distance. She's healed. But here he makes a point of reaching out and touching the untouchable. And in so doing, shatters the laws, the limits, the boundaries that have been set up around this leper. He shatters the barriers, if you like, that the leper himself has had built around him, which have isolated him for years and left him unable to touch others and just enjoy what it is to be with other people. Jesus' touch is at least as important as his words. This is significant, to reach out and to touch someone who's been untouchable. And notice as well, and Mark's recorded this, isn't it? Jesus reached out and touched the man, not the leper, the man. Recognized him as a human being, not some trash, not some garbage. Reach out and touch the man. And he said, "I am willing, be clean." Music to the leper's ears, I guess. Symphony for the soul. And Mark records in that next verse, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. And interestingly, you know, our English translations say cured. It's the same word throughout about being cleansed. If you're willing, you can cleanse me. I am willing, Jesus said. Be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. He was made clean. So he was healed, the leprosy was cleared up, but he was cleansed as well. And those next verses afterwards, Jesus tells the leper to go to the priest and to offer a sacrifice, and the priest will declare you as clean, and you'll be able to return home to your family and society. You'll be touchable, you'll be able to touch, you'll be restored, and you'll be made whole. A leper comes face to face with Jesus, the compassionate healer, and the result is the leper is cleansed and becomes a man again. For us, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same power to heal, same compassion to heal. We often pray for healing. Sometimes we see people getting better, sometimes we don't. You know, Jesus brought the kingdom of God. Jesus embodied the kingdom of God. You and I, we still wait for the kingdom to come in all its fullness. We pray for healing. Sometimes it comes, sometimes it doesn't, because there's still imperfection in our world. But Jesus has that same compassion. That's the point here. Also, I think Jesus is a role model for us. You know, if he had compassion for this leper like no one else would have done, it's for us too, to reach out to the loser at school, to the loner at work, to anyone that people make fun of, to reach out to them, filled with compassion, and to welcome them, to be part of the touchiness that makes us human beings. And also I think the gospel is here. Turns out that leprosy is not as contagious as people feared back then. And nowadays, in fact, it can be healed. But there is a disease that we all contract that makes us as vile as this leper was. But sin. We're born into it and we embrace it freely. We're guilty as charged. The Bible says our sin cuts us off or separates us from a holy God. Yet the truth is, we're never so far away that Christ can't reach us. We're never so bad that Christ won't reach out and touch our hearts. We're never so awful that he isn't willing to cleanse us. And all out of his compassion. We praise him. Jesus, the compassionate healer. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you and praise you that you are a compassionate healer. And Lord, you showed in this incident with this leper just how much you're prepared to love the unlovely, to reach out and touch the untouchable, to restore and make whole those who others think can't be. We thank you that you've touched our lives with your love and brought us to yourself. And we pray, Lord, that we might be those who also reach out with your compassion. We ask it in your name. Amen.